Welcome to Our Dad's Died with me, Tom.
And me, Rich.
We are the Dead Dad Experts, but on this particular episode, we're the Dead Dad Dream Experts. That's because you've had Dreams 1, Rumble in the Jungle. It's time for Dreams Part 2, The Blast from the Past. I don't remember any of the boxing names, so that's what we're having. Rich is here with me, fresh from his sojourn in Edinburgh, looking fine in the offices in London where he's recording this.
Yes, I'm here. I'm not at home. I'm feeling fine. I'm looking fine. Thank you very much. It's kind of you to say. Yeah, and I'm excited about this episode. It's one that we've been teasing for a while because we're big dream analyst fans. Mm. We're not professional dream analysts.
Of course not.
As we'll become clear, we know our limits. Mm. We're not some unelected bureaucratic dream analysts. We leave it up to the pros. And we've employed the pros this time around. We've each got three dreams that we've had since the last time we spoke about our dreams on this podcast. And we're going to put them to the test. We're going to analyze them. We're going to see what our psyches are telling us about our relationships with our dead dads and what's really going on behind these beautiful faces.
So it's time for the dreams episode, numero duo.
Time for the dreams episode. See you in a bit.
Do you like the energy of that?
It was fine.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
It was a lot, wasn't it?
It was a lot. It's good.
Got high energy.
It's good to start high because it comes down. So Richard Spaulding, tell me, my good friend, what has been happening in your head when you go to sleep?
Oh, God. Yeah, specifically dad-related, I'm guessing. Mm. Yeah, I've had, since the previous episode, the previous series episode on dreams, I think I've had three more sort of significant dad dreams. He pops up every now and again. Sometimes he's just there as a background character in a dream. But I've had three that I would say I woke up and that had an effect on me. So these aren't in chronological order. These, I think I've gone for, I've got quite a simple one, then a more complex one, and then another simple one. So the first one, the shortest, most simple one, I was talking to somebody at some kind of event, and over their shoulder, I saw my dad. And when I saw him, it was like in a video game where you get like a little cut scene. So then sort of like a camera zoomed in. And it showed my dad standing, and he was sort of in like a kind of a steampunk outfit, almost undercover. There was something about the way he was dressed that signified that I shouldn't tell people who he was, but he wanted me to know who he was. And he was wearing like a sort of weird like top hat with bits of metal on it and like these glasses that were like shades, but sort of half, like semicircle shades. So I saw him and I was having a conversation with someone and I broke it off immediately and I walked over and I hugged him and I was really excited because I'd get to hug him. And as soon as I hugged him, I realized it was a dream and I was hugging him. And then in my head, I was annoyed at myself because I knew it was a dream and I wasn't enjoying the moment. I was thinking about telling people about the dream. And then I woke up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The podcast, at the very least, ruined that dream for you.
Yeah, good. I actually hadn't thought about it in podcast terms, but of course that must have been what I was thinking about. I was, even during the dream, I was thinking there's something for the podcast.
Yeah.
Which is a thought that I've had before about like, well, you know, at least you got a podcast out of it. And
that's so true.
Yeah.
That kind of thing happens all the time, right? You have a feeling of being sad when you think, yeah, but at least, you know, this would be some decent content, so all bad.
And then you feel even worse because you think, what kind of person am I?
I know.
What on earth do we... Is there a steampunk dad section on dreammoods.com?
I think even the might of dreammoods.com is going to struggle with steampunk dad. I think it's this undercover element that I think is quite interesting. I think it's this Because it's that someone else has a secret, is what it is. So it would have to have that. Oh. All right.
Go on.
To dream that you or someone has a secret represents hidden power, suggesting that something is emerging from your subconscious.
From my subconscious? Even though it's my dad that I dreamt had the secret.
To dream that a secret is revealed.
Right.
Which is exactly what happened, I think.
Yeah.
Signifies fear of being exposed for who you really are.
Gotta be honest, I am living in permanent fear of being exposed for who I really am. And how does that relate to my dad?
Well, it says it indicates pressure of keeping a waking secret that you're desperate to let out. So maybe there's something... Although, actually, isn't this the... Because you're sort of saying at the end that you were annoyed at yourself. So the secret is that you quite enjoy that there's content coming out of this, but you don't want anyone to know. It's not a very good secret because you just told everyone on the podcast.
But maybe that is it. Maybe my guilt is that I'm benefiting from my dad's death in some way.
Oh, it says...
To the tune of, thus far, £0.
It says the secret is analogous to some subconscious material that needs to be confronted or addressed, which could be you benefiting in a very small and intangible way from...
It very small and very intangible. It's you cannot tange this.
No, you
the benefit
tange
that I'm currently experiencing.
No. You couldn't tange it for a second.
But it makes sense that there would be some conflict in there about a terrible thing happening to somebody and to my family and my ability to at least attempt to monetize that. Throws up some conflicting feelings, doesn't it?
I just want to see if we can get anything for Top Hat, because I really feel... Oh!
Yeah.
Top Hat.
Okay, here we go. Now we're into the meat of it, because that's got to be significant. There has to be a reason he was wearing a top hat.
It says, to see or wear a top hat in your dream.
Okay, I've seen one.
So you saw a top hat, and it's the same...
I also...
Either way.
To be clear, I don't know... I may have been wearing a top hat.
Your own head.
I didn't see the top of my own head.
I'm not sure about this, but it says it signifies male elegance.
That's not in a dream, is it? That's just in real life.
Well, the next one
that's
is
that's what a top hat means.
Formality, which again I feel it's really top hat. And or flamboyant flair.
They don't dig deep, do they, at dreammoves.com always.
Well, it does say a top hat could refer to your aspirations for wealth.
Okay.
Or status. Status.
Well, see, that is interesting because when you factor my dad into that and my current position, which at the time of recording is that my partner and I are buying or trying to buy a flat funded, at least in part, by the financial leftovers, I was going to say.
I think we can...
From my
from
dad's
now
life.
On, I think we're calling an inheritance financial leftovers.
Well, yeah. So the old financial leftovers. So I guess... And that, again, conflicted feelings about, you know, do I deserve to have a flat purely because my dad died?
Mm.
Not purely. I mean, some of the money is also mine. So that does make sense that old Papa Spalds would be wearing a top hat to signify that he is in possession still of the status.
Are you saying that he is in possession of the flat?
Well, in many ways, yeah.
He's laying claim to it. He's putting ownership on it. Don't you forget.
He is owning a flat with my girlfriend.
This is mine. And secretly, it's his as well.
He and my girlfriend have bought a flat secretly. Yeah, that's the undercover thing.
It's the undercover thing. It's secretly his flat.
And it's a steampunk-themed flat.
Oh, it's all explained!
Oh, no.
See, this is the power of dreammoods.com. We get to the heart of it.
Quite mean-spirited of my dad, if that is true, that he's appeared in a dream wearing an ostentatious top hat And just to say, just so you know, that's mine, that.
So we've got your dad owns your flat.
Yeah. There we go. Tick, done, sorted.
Tick, done. So I've got a recurring dream, a surreal dream, and a game changer. And I'm going to go with a surreal one. So I'm going to profess. So this is, I wrote this out on my phone. So this is, I'm just going to read you what I wrote. As you know, a lot of my dreams take place at the zoo, but this one I can't even place for location. I do remember this very simple image where my sister's partner was juggling, except he was juggling apples. And then really surreally, I've written, my dad is there. He grabs the apples from him, crushes them into a pot.
Right.
Hands me the pot and says, and that's how you make applesauce.
Okay. So just to recap, you're in some sort of liminal space.
I don't remember. It could be like in a garden or something. I can't remember that detail.
Your sister's partner is juggling apples.
Yeah.
Is this something that he does in... Because he's a talented magician.
So he juggles in real life. I've never seen him juggle apples. I'm sure he could.
So far, not that out of the ordinary. Then your dad comes in immediately... Unusual due to him having been dead for a number of years.
Yep.
He takes the apples, plucks them out of the air.
Grabs them from him.
Right. Quite aggressively.
Yeah. Steals them almost from him.
Steals them. Crushes them with his hands.
Just crushes them.
Smashes them all
it's
together.
It's like he does that, like slams his hands together, and then like a paste falls out. And it all goes into this pot, which he's also somehow holding. Hands that pot to me.
Right.
And he says, that's how you make applesauce.
Right, which is factually incorrect. That is not how you make applesauce.
No, I think you've put other things in.
The key symbol here, I'm going to say, is apples.
Apples are,
so
I think,
what I'll be...
really at the heart and soul, I would have said. I think apples juggling, maybe like aggression, because I remember, and this may be a false memory of it now, but I remember it being quite a aggressive sentiment.
We've got apples.
Okay.
So to see apples growing in a tree in your dream symbolizes knowledge, but they weren't growing in a tree.
No growth involved.
That would have been good, because that means rewards are on the horizon for you.
Much like me in my life in general, just no growth involved.
Can you remember the colour of the apples?
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, red was my instinct. Not really. Right. Red would be as close as I can remember that.
If you had to guess, it would be red.
I would say red if I had to guess, yeah.
And nothing on red apples. To see green apples represents developing love or love that has yet to blossom. But they weren't green apples, so therefore... Fortunately, good news for your wife. There's no developing love there.
Good news for me, I think, considering it's my dad who was so prominent.
Yeah, also crucial. Which means you're not going to enjoy this. To dream that you are eating an apple. Did you eat the applesauce?
No. No one consumed any of these apples. We're clear of this, whatever it is.
Okay, well, that's good, because eating an apple in your dream symbolizes your sexual appetite, lustful desires, and sexual awareness.
Why? Oh!
I think we'd all be quite glad that...
Dreammoods.com is just absolutely on flames.
It's not really shedding any light, is it?
No. After it did such a good job with yours as well.
Okay, there is. I've tried applesauce.
Okay.
Tom, I think all the signs are pointing to quite a troubling revelation.
Okay, yeah.
To make applesauce in your dream indicates that you are finding more acceptable ways of expressing your sexual desires. You weren't making the applesauce in your dream.
My dad was!
but your dad was, and he is. So he's found a more acceptable way of expressing his sexual desires, which it turns out was to die. That's the only way that he could curb his sexual desires.
It's good.
Is to move off this mortal coil.
The dream is telling you that in the afterlife, you know, we'll all become more sexually free.
Yeah.
It's not that something you're... I don't see why my dad felt the need to tell me that.
No, I don't know why he felt the need to tell you that. And also the fact that he was teaching you how to make applesauce.
Oh, yeah. And that
suggests
was...
that he's teaching you how to have more acceptable sexual desires.
So, again, my feeling is it was more like he was proving me wrong. It's more like it was, that's how you make applesauce. Like,
oh, I see. So you'd... Have you been, in that case, having some sexual desires that you thought were acceptable?
That actually...
And he's now saying to you, actually, no. Tom, that stuff that you've been doing, that is actually out of order.
I think we should get off of that. I don't think I should have pushed for you to Google applesauce.
I mean, George, should we see if juggling can reprieve you?
I think we need juggling.
I think, juggling again, they've gone... I mean... If you, like, route one, if I said to you, what could juggling represent in a dream, what would
got
you think?
Loads going on, you're juggling all your
you're
priorities.
Trying to do too much at once, yeah. Exactly. So that it's suggesting that you feel overwhelmed, or that your dad feels overwhelmed by his inappropriate sexual desires, potentially. He's certainly painting a troubled portrait.
Yeah, Jesus. I do feel overwhelmed, that's true, but I think most people do. It's in the current climate.
Yeah, true. So that we should be seeing more dream juggling.
I would have thought so. I think everyone should be having a juggler popping up.
How did you feel when your dad made applesauce for you?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Told you. That in itself.
Yeah. I do remember. I kind of felt like embarrassed, almost. Embarrassed.
Okay, that's in there. I mean, Tom, you're not going to like it. But it's all pointed in one very specific direction.
Oh, no!
To
Why?
Dream that you are embarrassed signifies hidden weaknesses, fears, and lack of self-confidence. Mm. This dream also suggests of insecurities about your sexuality.
Why?
So you're clearly feeling sexually insecure and also quite worried by... the quite abhorrent things you've been longing for sexually.
Why is dreammoods.com being like to you, your dad owns your flat? And to me, it's like, you sexual deviant.
You're a little pervert. But it's all, every single one of it, apart from juggling, it's all pointing towards you need to do something about these bizarre sexual practices.
Well, juggling, I'm just juggling so many of them. I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah, well,
by them.
You're stressed by the sheer number of depraved activities you want to do.
Too much on in that realm. Well, all right. Well, I'm not quite sure we can chalk that one up to a big success for dreammoods.com.
No.
But nonetheless, we persevere. So let's have your second dream.
Dream two. So this one I did write down immediately afterwards because. I sent it to my mum. I woke up at kind of 4 a.m.-ish, I think, and was really, really affected by this dream to the extent that I then woke up my partner to tell her because it had really shaken me a bit. So I'll just read it aloud what I said to my mum. I said, I'm not really sure where it was or when, but we were somewhere. And in the dream, I was really sad and depressed about something. And I was trying to get away from everyone, but my dad came and found me in a room and he told me I needed to talk about everything. And then I sat and I spoke to him and he was really lovely. And then you came up, being my mum, and we all talked for a while. And then I said, and by the end, I knew that he was dead. And so I told him how much I'd loved being able to talk to him. And then when I looked up, he was gone.
Oh, no.
It really affected me, that dream. I woke up sort of on the verge of tears and I text my mum and I woke my girlfriend up and she said, are you okay? And I started telling this dream and then I started crying. And then I went downstairs and I sat on the sofa and I cried for quite a long time. And I haven't cried specifically about my dad for a long time. But that really, and I felt really not sad, but like, you know, I don't know if melancholy is the right word, but you know that sometimes you get a feeling of like you're sad, but it feels nice. It's like a warm sadness. It was almost a pleasant sensation for the rest of that day.
How long did you say for the rest of the day? A whole day?
The rest of that, the whole of the day, I felt different. Yeah.
Oh.
It really stuck with me. And yeah, I remember the, again, sort of like the dream, the steampunk top hat dream. There was sort of a crossover of, oh, I know what's going on and I'm going to wake up soon. And yeah, being able to sort of say to my dad, I've really loved spending this time with you, and then he was gone.
Did he hear you say that at the end?
I don't know. I think so.
But he didn't set back.
No, he just fucked off.
You got more out of it than he did, I guess.
Yeah. I was like, I really love spending this time with you. And he was like, what was that? Sorry, I'd left the room. I'm outside. I'm leaving again.
Hey, grief me again. Way.
Just looking for my top hat.
Oh, no. It's a very depressing dream, I think. I think probably a fairly...
I found it really... I mean, yeah, it was sad. But it was... Because also, bear in mind, as we've discussed many times on this podcast, I never said goodbye to my dad and I never got to say any of the, like, oh, I really love you and I appreciate everything you've done for me. And so that was sort of... And it was weird. It was like I was about to wake up and I knew I was about to wake up. So I was saying, oh, by the way, here's all the stuff that I didn't get a chance to say to you.
So it says that to dream that you were talking. Sorry. It's just so harsh. To dream that you were talking does not have any significance.
Oh, cool. Really? Right on dreammoods.com. They've allowed an entry where they've just gone, do you know what? No, it didn't mean anything.
It does go on. Yeah, it says, okay. What are you saying specifically? If what you say evokes strong feelings, the dream may simply be highlighting your need to improve your communication skills.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, in the dream, I think I said I was feeling sad and depressed about something. I can't remember what it was, but the emotions were I was feeling sad and depressed and I wanted to get away from everyone. And then my dad came with me.
There is a section for death dreams.
Death dreams? Okay.
Whole section for death dreams. Dreaming of someone who's already dead. I'm going to pull out for this one because it feels really the core of this dream is talking to a dead person, it feels like to me.
Yeah.
It says, to see or talk to the dead in your dream forewarns that you are being influenced by negative people and hanging around the wrong crowd.
You don't think... So, I mean, not to, again, besmirch the good name of dreammoods.com, but you don't maybe think that talking to dead people could in fact suggest you want to talk to someone who's died rather than you're hanging around with the wrong crowd.
I think it's dreammoods.com once again trying to kill this podcast.
Dreammoods, they don't dig nearly far enough or they dig way too far.
Yeah.
With juggling, like dig a little bit deeper. With this one.
With talk.
There's a very clear answer.
There is another bit later which says about different family members. And it says, to see and talk with your dead parents in your dreams represents your fears of losing them or your way of coping with the loss. You're using your dream as a last opportunity to say your final goodbyes to them.
Which, well, I mean, that was...
It's quite accurate, I think.
That was what was happening.
However, yeah. I think as we've learned in this podcast, it's not really final.
No.
It's it feels like one goodbye of many million.
Yeah, he will keep coming back.
Million. Thousand.
Also weird that it took almost a decade for me to reached the point where I was saying goodbye to my dad in a dream.
Yeah, that's true, actually. You haven't... Have you said that before in a dream?
No, I've never... I don't think I've really had a dream where... I had, as we discussed in the first series, weird, like, metaphors where I was getting in a car and he couldn't come with me, that kind of thing. But this was the first time in a dream of talking to him and sort of saying goodbye in any way. And I was worried that that would signify, you know, the end of me dreaming about him. But just a few nights later, there he is in a top hat. So, but he was undercover.
Exactly. So
maybe now he can only pop along
in disguise.
In secret.
Dear, oh dear. Well, I hope that provides you with some solace. And I'd like to speak about the zoo.
Sure thing.
As long-term listeners of this podcast will know, once a year we would go to the zoo as a family. And so the zoo is a frequent dream location for me, particularly involving my dad. So this is the recurring dream that I
How
have
often
had.
Are we talking?
Not that often, 5 or 10 times since.
Quite a large margin between those two, but sure.
Well, but in the ballpark of 5 and 10. So we're at the zoo, and my dad keeps demanding that we as a group go to get ice cream. Except every time I don't want to. And sometimes we have a heated argument, and it makes me a bit upset when I wake up.
Right. So is it exactly the same or very similar each time?
Similar. So we'll be at the zoo. It's almost like it's signifying the end of the dream.
Right.
It's like the dream doesn't end when we go to the ice cream because we haven't got ice cream yet. God knows what's going to happen. He'll probably be serving it. Or I will. I don't know. But the argument, when he starts saying, oh, I want to go get ice cream, it's almost like he's saying, the dream's ending, and I'm like, no, we're not going to get ice cream, we're going to keep going around the zoo. It's like that, it feels like that.
So I've plucked a few things out. Ice cream, specifically. To see or eat ice cream in your dream denotes good luck, pleasure, success in love, and satisfaction with your life. But crucially, you didn't eat ice cream.
Nor see it.
Ooh.
Is that the opposite then?
I guess it must be. On the other hand, I mean, yeah, they're scraping the barrel. On the other hand, the ice cream may be a pun on ice cream. Perhaps there is something you need to let out.
Oh my God. Yeah, they've done it. They've got me.
That's very dream mood, though, because what they're suggesting there is that your dad is saying, we should get ice cream. He's saying to you, you need to let these feelings out.
Mm.
And you're saying, no, I'm not going to let these feelings out.
That's true.
So maybe it's a dream about your repression. Because what he's offering you is if you get rid of these feelings, then you get ice cream, which denotes good luck, pleasure, success, and love and satisfaction with your life. So what your dad's telling you is that you need to let these emotions out to continue on your path to success.
I thought I had been letting these emotions out with this podcast. I thought that's what this was.
Tom, you haven't screamed once the whole time we've been doing
this. That's true. I don't think I could. I think I might have too much self-consciousness to just do a big scream right now.
But that's the issue.
Because it's... I mean, people will hear it.
Yeah.
But wouldn't they think?
Yeah. You're in Glasgow.
Someone's just screamed.
I imagine people will think that's the fourth scream of it today.
Yeah,
let's not worry too much.
Not one of the normal screamers, though, so it raises questions.
Just a bit of variety.
That's an English person screaming. Where is he?
If no one could hear you scream, do you think you'd be able to let that out? Yeah. If you were on like on a beach, completely deserted, away from everyone, could you scream at the sea? And do you think it would be beneficial?
I don't think I feel like... I mean, the instinctive thought I had was, I wouldn't want to scare the fish.
Yeah, but these fish have been near this particularly deserted beach for a while. What they're thinking is that's the fourth scream I've heard today.
Right, this is the scream beach. This is where people go to scream. I suppose if I had assurances from the fish themselves that it was all above board.
They all sort of swam out a little bit.
Yeah. And they made the space.
Out of earshot.
And the birds sort of, kind of flapped away, I guess, under those circumstances. Why couldn't I simply be in a room which was sort of noise cancelled, where other people couldn't hear?
Well, we've made the decision now, haven't we? Unfortunately,
it's true. It's a beach.
Tough luck.
Yeah, I could scream on a beach. I could scream on a beach. I just wouldn't want to scream on a beach because someone would hear it, and then they would want to find out why I'd done a big scream.
We're guaranteeing that no one can hear this scream.
Who's guaranteeing this?
Hang on. All right. How about space? Because famously in space, no one can hear you scream.
That's true.
So we send you. We crowdfund with the listeners of Our Dad's Died.
Yeah.
We crowdfund you to be the first man
Fantastic.
Ever to be sent into space to scream.
Solely to be able to do a big scream.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be very concerned about that, obviously. I have a lot of worries about that.
What about being sent to space?
Someone's still going to be able to hear it, aren't they? Because
who's going to be able to hear it?
Well, the communications with NASA or the European Space Agency.
You just go on mute.
And what if I have a problem with my spacesuit?
Then you unmute and you say, "Hi guys, I've got a problem with my spacesuit."
So I've muted myself, I do a scream, and it won't unmute. And then I'm like, oh no, there's a tear in my spacesuit, man. You know,
I think you're
my spaceship
finding every
knows which way to go.
And you're finding every possible way.
I
major
Tom myself into a meteor.
Because you cannot.
And then,
you can't deal with your emotions, Tom. You're not letting them out.
You're
not letting them out. And it's space oddity.
This is yet another example.
It's an entirely different David Bowie song.
Of you wanting me to die in a David Bowie scenario. Ashes to Ashes is the sequel to Space Oddity, which stars the same characters as well, you should know.
I think your dad's got a point in this dream. I think very clearly you're repressing something.
I don't want to do a big scream, I suppose is the point.
I know. That's what you say in the dream. You're telling him, I don't want ice cream.
Oh,
but he's saying you should.
In a way, I really hate dreammoods.com, but in a way, I really love it.
Annoyingly, this one, I think, has absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was really stupid, but now I'm on board with it.
If nothing else, just feel pleased that it's not saying you've got something wrong with your sexual desires for once.
Yet another sexual deviancy-based one. All right, well, there we are. Well, okay. It's dream TikTok, it's dream o'clock. I want to hear your big hitter.
Okay, well, I mean, I gave you the simplest one, the sort of the emotional, the longest one. This one, pretty short, pretty sweet, pretty straightforward. Don't think it needs much analysis at all. I'm in a car, it's being driven by my dad's skeleton, and he's driving us into a wall. There we go. No deeper meanings to dig into there, I don't think. I'm just in the passenger seat of a car being driven by the skeleton of my dad, and he's trying to kill us both. And in the dream, he wasn't frightened because he was already dead, and I was frightened because I was still alive. I think that's pretty straightforward.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
In the dream, he wasn't... Okay, so I mean, tell me more about your dad's skeleton. And when was this dream?
When?
Yeah, when did you have it?
It was on the last night that I was in Edinburgh.
Recent dream.
Yeah, very recent.
So hopefully it's really seared in.
It maybe points to potentially the stress that I was feeling whilst in Edinburgh, maybe. Or let's see what dream moods think.
What does your does your dad's skeleton look like?
Fully clothed. He was wearing, I think, a suit.
A clothed skeleton wearing a suit.
Yeah.
How did you know it was your dad?
And I was in the car with, I thought, just my dad, my normal dad. And the first glimpse that I got, he was wearing driving gloves and like a suit jacket. But I could see in the gap between the gloves and sort of the cuff, it was just bone. And then I looked across and it was a skeleton. And he was driving us into a wall.
So we need the skeleton before we can do anything else.
I think we need skeleton. Yeah,
we need to find out about the skeleton. It says to see a skeleton in your dream. represent something that is not fully developed?
I mean, I was in Edinburgh doing a work in progress.
So it's not a fully formed show, is it?
It's not a fully formed show.
Alternatively, a skeleton symbolises death.
Yeah,
it's route one.
Nail on the head there.
Route one. You need to get to the bottom of some matter.
I just if I can pause there for a second, I'll be so disappointed if it turns out that the dream about my dead father's skeleton driving me into a wall turns out to just be self-serving anxiety about a work in progress show. That's far too extreme a metaphor for my brain to use.
Well, don't worry, because it picks up. The skeleton may also be a metaphor for skeletons in your closet.
Ooh.
Immediately followed with, do you have something to hide? To see someone depicted as a skeleton signifies that your relationship with them is long dead.
Wow. Wow. They're quite accusatory today, aren't they?
They're aggressive today. Last time round, I remember it being a lot more friendly, but this time round, they've...
Yeah, no, this time. It's like, you've got a secret. Get over your dead dad.
Yeah.
Your relationship's long dead.
Long dead.
What are you hiding?
What are you hiding?
Also, your show needs a lot of work, by the way.
Yeah, and your dad sort of owns your flat.
Yeah. Your dad owns your flat, partly because your shows aren't good enough to bring in the big bucks. By the way, what the fuck are you hiding? Good.
Oh,
I'm glad we got to the bottom
Jesus
of that one.
Jesus Christ, that was great. There is one for to dream that you are murdered as well.
Yeah.
And it says, to dream that you are murdered suggests some important and significant relationship has been severed. The dream may also be about your unused talents.
Oh, well, let's go with that one. That's better. I think we should
dreammoods.com is pushing really hard that it's like your dad died and you're sad about it.
Yeah.
Which is quite a root one explanation. I want to hear more about the unused talents.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to hear more about these unused talents.
You could monetize them.
It'd be great to discover I've got an unused talent.
What could that be? Hip hop?
I've certainly never tried.
Do you want to try now?
Not particularly.
So there
you
go. So that's the thing. Because you don't want to try it, you'll never know.
Says the man who wouldn't scream even in space.
It's hard to argue your talent's going to be screaming, I think.
All right. So one way to find out. Let's build a rocket. Well, I feel like there's some clarity there. In between the three dreams, there's some kind of message, and I think eventually I might work out what it is. Should we have your final dream?
Sure.
The one you've already dubbed a game changer.
I think so. So this was a few months ago. Actually, many months ago. It's probably about 6 months ago now.
You wrote this one down as well?
This is unchanged from... Okay. Well, copied and pasted into this so I could easily, but... as I wrote it. the verbiage is interesting, but I'm going to stick with what I wrote down. Presumably at 5 a.m. Me and lovely Amanda are at a fete.
Oh, that's nice. Even at 5 a.m. Unless is lovely Amanda a different Amanda that you've been fraternising with? That's why you have to give her the moniker.
Yeah. You know, like a village fete. With a tombola and a game with keys in a box and so on.
Quite swingery vibes. But sure.
Keys in a box! I haven't been to one since I was a kid with my family. And we're at this fete, and eventually we run into Dad and the family, and everyone is having a coffee.
Okay, well, I mean, he's famously a barista, so that makes a lot of sense.
He hands me my coffee, and they're all in those Starbucks-style cups with the writing on. I look at mine, and it says Tom.
Uh-huh.
But then I get confused for some reason, and and Dad tells me to look again.
Right.
And now it says... try harder.
Oh.
And I woke up.
Wow. Try harder.
I mean, make sense of that.
Say what you like about your dad. He is at least consistent in these dreams.
Yeah.
He's retrained as a barrister.
Yeah.
Barrister.
Yeah.
In the afterlife.
Yeah.
He works exclusively at large events, zoos, fates, similar.
Yeah.
And he's encouraging you to fucking get a move on and do something with your life. And stop masturbating.
Our conversations
seem to be
the theme. Our conversations.
I assume had you opened up the coffee cup, it would have been full of applesauce.
It's very poignant and aggressive, which is obviously some kind of deep-seated, unresolved childhood thing. Mm-hmm. But the things he says to me in the dream tend to be very pointed, sort of, you know, try hard. And so he says, look again. And the cup that he handed me didn't say my name. And I've since looked into that element, and that's apparently something that happens with dreams all the time, in that you'll look at something and read something and then look away and look back and it'll say something different.
Really?
That's a really common dream thing, is that that's one of the things that lucid dreamers, people who try to be awake in their dreams, if you like, do, is they read something, look away and read it again. If it's something different, they go, oh, well, I must be dreaming, because that doesn't happen in real life.
See.
So in this instance, though, it was not a lucid dream, but rather it was my dad telling me to try harder. And I'm so vivid it saying that. And I woke up and I was just like, what the fuck?
So what? How did it make you feel?
I felt really confused.
Yeah.
Like going into that moment, I felt really confused. Like, I remember, so I look at the cup and it says my name, and then I just felt really confused for some reason. So I don't know why that was.
Yeah.
But then the cup said something else.
Try harder.
So I definitely think confusion. I don't know if there's going to be anything in there about your dead relative specifically calling you out for not trying hard enough in your life. Feels unlikely, but you never know.
Well, I think what's interesting is that quite often on dreammoods.com, the whatever happens in your dream is in some way a metaphor for you breaking down barriers, pushing past obstacles, getting through things.
Yeah.
Your dream is absolutely in no way a metaphor for that. It's very literally your dad.
True.
Sitting you down and saying, try harder.
Yeah. There's no, I mean, there's no metaphor.
My dad was driving me through a wall as a skeleton as a way of telling me to overcome my obstacles. Your dad's just written the words try harder on a coffee cup. He's been in Starbucks too long. He's got no other way of communicating now.
Just fucking get your shit together. He's just try harder.
Clearly the message is not getting through.
Yeah,
I keep coming back to you with this zoo dream. You're not getting it.
Yeah.
So now I'm just going to write the words try harder on a coffee cup and hand it to you.
I'm displeased by what... I died, so I can't do anything on Earth anymore, and I'm displeased by how you're choosing to spend your time there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's embarrassing, is what
he's saying. Got very strong opinions on your sexual proclivities as well, apparently.
Yeah.
So coffee's not bringing us much... We can go back to the famous emotions section. How did you feel when you got the message?
Confused.
Try harder.
Confused the whole way through.
Confusion. Okay. To dream that you are confused may reflect your true confused state of mind. Oh, cool. Nice one. It does say what you need to do is isolate the single element in your dream that is confusing to you and analyze the meaning of that particular symbol, which is the coffee cup, right?
Yeah.
Because it says try harder.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's confusing you.
How can I try any harder? I could easily try harder.
Has that affected the amount that you've tried since?
I think maybe initially I did feel like I better put a bit of effort in. I don't know. I don't know is the answer.
It felt like you were going to say something there and then you weren't sure what to say.
Well, I was going to say since then, I did actually go to the GP and really push for a diagnosis where I was so sick all the time, rather than just sort of accept, oh, you're overweight, oh, you're that exercise. So, I mean, that did happen since then, not knowingly related to the dream, but that did happen since then. So,
yeah, interesting. So it's maybe affected you subconsciously in some way.
You could maybe say, maybe I know I have celiac disease because my dad told me to go to a doctor. Maybe. These don't feel like interconnected events.
So, I mean, we've done a fair bit of analysis and laughing at some of these dreams, but how do these dreams affect you, would you say, if they do?
I think sometimes, knowingly, I think sometimes, you know, you have a dream like you did where you feel affected by it all day. Don't you? I've sometimes had the big argument recurring dream, and I feel affected by that for some time after. And of course, from the previous episode, the dream where I let down Lin-Manuel Miranda. Letting down your hero, just...
That's going to hurt.
Just sad all day. So I think in the short term, there's that. But in the longer term, I don't know. I don't think it does. But I completely accept someone... I would see that dream and the GP celiac thing as two events that are not interconnected. But at the same time, I completely accept it if someone would like to see those as connected. I think that's a very valid thing to see. To me, I don't think they are. Well, I mean, what about yourself? Do you think there's any of these has caused you any... to act differently or behave a different way?
Well, no, that the second one, it did genuinely affect me for a day. And I don't think it changed the way that I acted, but it changed the way that I felt, to the point where a few days afterwards, maybe a week afterwards, I'd been home for the weekend. I was driving back to London and I was giving my younger brother a lift. And I told him about this dream, and we were talking about it, and it turned out I kind of said to him that it felt, and I think I've been pretty open on this podcast before, that I think dreams are generally, they're just dreams. You fall asleep, your brain fires off random stuff that you've maybe been thinking about. And they can be maybe a reflection of what's going on in your head without being deeply meaningful metaphors. But after that dream, I did have a real thing of like, that felt like more than a dream. And I said to my brother that it did almost feel like a message. And I don't think it was. I don't think in any way that was, but it did have such an effect on me. And interestingly, he, on the same day that I had that dream, because I texted him about it later that evening, but before he'd seen that message from me, he'd had an experience that it's not that I can talk about because it's his experience, but it wasn't a dream, but something that happened to him that same day that was completely unrelated to our dad, but that made him immediately feel an emotion that was related to when our dad died, that he said he hadn't felt since that exact moment. And so he was on the exact same day, had a really like profound experience that sort of affected him for a while and was indirectly related to the way that he'd felt when our dad died. And that is almost, I mean, not almost certainly, that is certainly a big coincidence, but it's a big coincidence.
It's a big old C.
And it's weird because it was because I'd said to him, I felt like it was almost like a message. And that was when he said, well, weirdly, that exact phrase is what I was thinking when this thing happened. It's almost like a message. And it happened on the same day. And it's sort of nice. It's nice. It's nice to think that, I don't know, I don't think this, but to entertain briefly the possibility that our dad was like, here you go, have a little message. and one for you. Nothing for your other brother or your mum.
Yeah. I haven't got time for
I can only do
three.
Two a day. I'm tired. I can do two three. A day.
And your mum as well?
Yeah, I mean, she's had dreams about my dad, not on that day.
He hasn't got time for...
He can't do them all. He can't do them all, Tom.
Yeah, you can't do them all. You can't do them all.
He's got so much to... That's why he's driving so recklessly.
Hadn't even bothered to put his skin on, had he? I think that's nice. And that is interesting. That's interesting.
I think... But that's exactly what it is. It was nice. For that day afterwards where I felt sad and felt affected, I also felt connected to him in a way that I haven't for a long time. And it was nice. It was sad, but it was nice. I think that was the kind of feeling that I was trying to get across. It was a nice sadness.
You felt connected to him in a way then that you haven't for a long time.
Yeah, because I did almost feel like I'd spoken to him, which I haven't done for almost 10 years.
I mean, that's the first time you felt that way in 10 years, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Because obviously I didn't speak to him, but the feeling, it's still, I had the memory of having spoken to him earlier that day. Yeah, it really dreams are ridiculous nonsense, but...
Sounds like it sort of messed you up quite badly.
It did. It did. Now I'm talking about it. Yeah. It really did.
Yeah.
Nice, though.
Messed you up in a nice way.
Yeah, I mean, we're all messed up when our parents die, but nice to get one of the good bits of messed up, however briefly.
What a gosh darn podcast we've just had. Rich got annoyed at me during the intro because my energy was too high, so
I wasn't expecting you to come in with gosh darn podcast. What a gosh darn podcast we've just had.
I just came in much lower because he was annoyed about the energy levels.
It was a good one, though. I liked... One thing I did want to say at the end about the... it is important to state that you have absolutely no control over what you dream about. And the amount that you dream about someone or something has literally nothing to do with who you are as a person.
Mm.
We joke about all this symbolism and stuff, but you have no control over your dreams. And that is an important factor. So if you're sitting there thinking, I don't dream about my dead dad, I don't dream about my dead mum, I don't dream about my dead brother... That's normal. A lot of people don't. As we've discovered when making this podcast, because part of the idea for this episode was we would ask all of our guests, have you dreamt about your dead parents? And every single one of them said, no.
We've got great content of Michelle Brazier and Katie Norris being confused.
Tom Ward.
Yeah. We've got great content of them all being confused.
Got a good 5 minutes from each of them going, I don't think I have. I probably would have popped up
in a dream, but I can't remember.
So don't worry if you've never had it. In many ways, after the ones that we've discussed, I wish I had fewer dreams about my dad. Because they're really throwing up some fairly long repressed issues, it turns out.
The analysis was I wouldn't say clear, but I would say it left you with a lot of questions.
Was that was episode 2, series 2. I'm enjoying... being into series 2 now. I feel like we've matured.
I love you being back, Rich. It's so nice having you back on the intro and the outro.
It's nice being back. It's nice doing this again.
It's lovely. It was a bleak time without you. I didn't have anyone to control what I said, and sometimes it raised question marks. So I'm really pleased to have you back with us in the outro.
I'm glad to be back.
It's so nice to have you back, and long may it continue as we pour through the second season of Our Dad's Died.
We'll be back next week with a very good guest we're very excited about. And then we'll just keep on keeping on. More episodes of us, more episodes with great guests. We've got some really good ones lined up. We've got some great topics to talk about. And any way that you want to get involved with us, if you want to send us an email, if you want to tell us about a dream, if you want to reply to an Instagram comment or post, anything that you want to input into this podcast, anything that we talk about that you respond to in any way, let us know and we'll read it out.
It's a long sentence, but it was great and I agree with it. Five-star reviews, emails, tweets, Instagrams, whatever, get in touch with us. And until next time, just remember one thing. Death comes for us all.
But it comes for you first.
See you next week.
See you. Bye-bye.